Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
The drama's heating up in Brooklyn. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving have not spoken since the Nets announced no part-time Kyrie. Should KD regret teaming up with Kyrie in Brooklyn? It is Baker versus Kyler Sunday in a showdown of former Heisman winners at Oklahoma. Will Baker make a statement against the 5-0 Cardinals? And will Mac Jones outplay Dak Prescott Sunday in Foxborough? Kevin Wilde says, duh. Good Friday morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. Alongside Kevin Wilds and Chris Broussard.
Hello.
And Nick Wright. I'm Jenna Wolf. Wilds Patriots gonna need a nearly perfect game out of Mac. I'm saying it. Or maybe not. Maybe just a regular game out of Mac. I don't know.
Well, every game that Mac Jones is in is perfect, no matter what. It's like your child's artwork. Oh, this is beautiful, no matter how messy it is. So yeah, I agree with you, Jenna.
Oh, I like it. We're all on the same page to start this morning. Let's kick things off with some Thursday night football. Last night, little Bucks, little Eagles in Philadelphia, and it was clearly a business trip for Tom Brady and Leonard Fournette. Pair of touchdown passes for Brady, pair of rushing touchdowns for Fournette as the Bucks held off a late rally from Jalen Hurts to nab the win. 28-22 is your final. Tampa Bay Buccaneers now 5-1 on the season. That is the good news. The bad news, more injuries to that secondary. Richard Sherman had to leave with a hamstring injury during the Eagles' first drive. But Chris Broussard, are Brady and the 5-1 Bucks the best team in the NFC?
They are, Jenna. I don't know if I'll get some pushback on this set, but they are the best team in the NFC. I know they weren't overly impressive last night, but they were up 28-7 with a couple minutes left in the third quarter until fatigue got to them in the end. And yes, I said fatigue because this was their third game in 12 days. All right, 12 days. And it's tough. You know this, Nick. It's tough to go on the road on short rest. Remember, they just played on Sunday. Short rest and get a win, especially when you're missing two of your best defensive players in Levante David and Antoine Winfield Jr. So it was a good win for them. They've got 12 days off until you see them again. And when you see them again, they're going to look like the best team in the NFC. They've got the best offense in the NFC. I know you might say, well, what about Arizona? What about Dallas? Well, Tom Brady's better than Dak, and he's better than Kyler Murray. And they got a better receiver. Even Dallas' receiving corps is great. But I would even take Tampa Bay's receiving corps slightly over Dallas's. Running game, I'm going to say this. Leonard Fournette, he might be headed for a Pro Bowl season. With what he's doing, catching the ball and running it, I love what Fournette is doing. You question the defense. That's obviously the struggles. What about that pass defense? It's poor, but I think you're going to go Dallas, Nick. Dallas is poor, too.
Injured.
Trayvon Diggs is fantastic, but he can't guard everybody. He can't guard A.B., Antonio Brown,
sure seems like
Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, three tight ends, and Gio Bernard out of the backfield. He can't guard all of them. I've got the edge for Tampa Bay. And the bottom line is this, Nick. One game, your season's on the line. Who you picking for quarterback? Is it Aaron Rodgers, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott? Anybody else in the NFC? Matt Stafford. Out of those guys and Tom Brady, I don't even have to say the name. I don't even have to give the answer. It's almost embarrassing to ask what quarterback you take. We all would take Brady. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the best team in the NFC, Nick.
Well, that's a different question than what's on the bottom of the screen. What quarterback would you take in the NFC with one game with your life on the line? The answer probably is Brady.
Matters.
But are they the best team in the NFC? It matters, but it's not the entirety of the equation. So much of what Broussard said there, though, is just, and I hate to start a Friday like this, but I know Broussard's, you know, in the comedy business now, but it's laughable. I mean, we're talking fatigue. We're going with the fatigue factor. Oh, okay. Had Philly not been playing? I guess I missed that part. Also, the Eagles. I'm old enough to remember that, you know, when the Chiefs rolled the Eagles, we were like, yeah, but the Eagles stink. The Chiefs beat them by 12 and we're up by 19 with 5 seconds left. Yeah, the Eagles stink. Last night's game, it's a 6-point game late. Now the Bucs win. I think the Bucs are very, very good. And this is what I'm going to say about them. I think they are going to have the best path to the Super Bowl of any team in the NFC. You know who the Bucs remind me of? Last year's Chiefs. So the season before, middling team throughout the majority of the year, get hot at the end of the regular season, start a winning streak, extend the winning streak into the postseason, win the Super Bowl, and then are screaming all year long. The Chiefs were 14-1 last year in the 15 games before they rested everybody as they defended their Super Bowl. The Bucs, I don't think they're going to be 14-1, but look at the schedule. They have the Bills on it. Other than the Bills, record. Their next toughest games are at New Orleans, and then I guess at Carolina. Their third toughest game is at the Panthers. So I do think they're going to be the one seed. And that obviously matters more in the last couple years than any time before because you're the only team in your conference with the bye. However, if we are going to talk about head-to-head, I think the Cowboys are better. Oh, hey, look at the Bucs receivers. I don't really care about that. That's probably Wilds' thing. If we're going to talk about the head-to-head, I think the Cowboys are better, and I think the Rams are better. I understand the Bucs beat the Cowboys, but the Bucs also lost to the Rams, and we're looking forward. So I think head-to-head, those teams are slightly better, but the Bucs are going to be the best position team because of the schedule that I don't think they're bad secondary Wilds. Anyone's going to be able to take advantage of it. They don't play any good quarterbacks, one could argue, all year. Well, I guess Josh Allen. So they play Josh Allen, and that's the list as far as the rest of the year good quarterbacks. So that's it, Wild. So, no, I think they're good. I think they're potentially very good. I don't think they're the best team in the NFC. I do think they'll have the best record.
Yeah, I think they're the best team in the NFL. You know, I'm a records guy, so sometimes I look at best record NFL. And best quarterback of all time. I say, you know what, that's pretty good. So Bill here's Parcells. Why I think they're so good.
Bill Parcells.
Hey, you are what your record is. So look, I think Tom Brady is doing things right now that are so easy for him that you have to be impressed. Quick story about my dad, who's a carpenter. We went and worked on my garage. My dad said, hey, do you want a shelf there? I was like, I don't know. And he's a up, and all of a sudden there was a shelf there. I said, woo. You really know what you're doing, huh? That would have taken me 3 days, and you did it in 2 minutes. That's what Tom Brady is doing. Tom Brady, when we gave you the trailer, but now you get to see the full movie if I could show this graphic. The wide receivers are all being fed. Now, you might tell me this is a coincidence, but I think Tom Brady is in the game thinking, all right, well, I'm definitely going to win the game. Who needs a little bit of love? Ah, AB, here's some action for you. So AB got some love yesterday. This is amazing. The other thing, Broussard, was the fourth and three play from midfield.
Fourth and two.
Bucks are up 14. The go-for-it robot, which is the only robot that I like, said, it's a toss-up. So they didn't run the ball. They didn't give it to your guy, Gio Bernard. They're like, I'll just throw it down here. If we get it, great. If we don't, and the Eagles score, which they do, and cut it to six, there was a palpable sense with Tom Brady's like, I'll just score another touchdown. Or I'll just bring the ball down, and we'll just kneel on it. It's not. There's a sense of ease that is bordering on boredom of how good the Bucs are, and that's what makes me think they're the best team in the league.
Waz, you make a great point about the receivers because usually when there's a plethora of weapons, we wonder, is everybody going to be happy? Will Mike Evans and Chris Godwin be happy if AB's there? They're all getting fed, and the running backs are happy too because somehow, even though they throw the ball all over the place, Leonard Fournette is still getting enough touches, whether it's running the ball or catching it. And so that's a great point, Wilds. They're able to feed everyone. And you're right. And Nick brought up the Chiefs and the Eagles. I would argue, Nick, that Tampa Bay played and with more ease and had an easier time with Philadelphia over the first three quarters than the Chiefs did. I mean, it was a blowout. It was 28-7.
I mean, you can make the argument.
I almost turned it off and went to bed. I mean, luckily I didn't.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. I mean, you can make that argument. I can make the argument that my name is Marquis Lassad, but it'd be a bad argument. The Chiefs were up 42-23 with 10 seconds left in the game.
Okay. What about the game that
was a... Hold on.
They've only got two wins. Don't try to take it from him.
No. I'm not.
It's just a bad argument.
I have to say one thing real quick. Because like Broussard was tracking the Ravens rushing record. You guys know I'm tracking is an interception Tom Brady's fault record. I am relieved to report streak intact. You might say, Nick, that interception, he overthrew his guy by 12 yards.
No, that was his one.
Guys, we've been told that was on 3rd and 15, so that's an arm punt. Actually a good play by Brady. Yeah. If you guys didn't know, actually a good play. Punter, it hasn't been reported yet. Punter's hammy was a little tight. Brady went out there and said, I'll take one for the team, guys. Let me just go ahead and punt this one away. As an added bonus, the referee will prevent the Eagles player from... actually blocking me. That was a weird moment in the game. It's like, hey, ref, it's a live ball. And the ref's like, no, you can't touch Tom. The Eagles guy's I can. It's allowed. He's trying to make a tackle. No, you can't touch Tom. So that's a weird thing, but Brady's streak intact, Jenna.
It actually makes sense.
Great points made by everyone, including you, Marquise. That was really good. All right, we're going to take a turn.
Hey, back Jenna's back, everybody.
Hey.
That's pretty good.
In the AFC, last season, of course, the Chiefs. Should they be on upset alert Sunday in Washington? Talk about that next. First things first, it is Friday. Wrap your head around that.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Upset alert. We're talking Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Mahomes not in Myles Garrett front yard. They are headed to our nation's capital to face the football team Sunday. Mahomes has already matched his interception total from last season with 6. See if he can rebound Sunday.
Is that the only stat this show has?
Can be disruptive.
This is outrageous. I'm sorry, Jenna. How many
I've heard that like 13
do I have to hear that
on this
stupid
show?
Stat. My God, we get
one
it.
More.
Last year, he barely threw picks.
He's already
last year,
his
he barely threw picks. That's
six
the takeaway.
From last
All
season.
Right, folks, guess what?
Two
At
more.
Some point, he's going to surpass
more.
It.
Six.
I'm sick of it. Sorry, six. Jenna. It's ridiculous.
Three more. Keep saying it. Chris Broussard, which
Go
team
ahead,
do you
Broussard.
Think should be on upset alert? Nick's whining notwithstanding.
Cincinnati Bengals. And I have two admissions before I go into why. First of all, look, I went along for the ride. I was with everybody else in criticizing and mocking Dan Campbell for his biting the kneecaps presser. All right, it was a bad look. I mocked it like everyone else. But I gotta be honest, I'm starting to like Dan Campbell. You know, his team plays really hard for him. The tears last week at the press conference, I'm here for that. I mean, not every week or not even every few weeks. But once in a while, it shows he cares. It shows he's invested. And I bet you his players respond to that. Secondly, I'm such a stickler for the rules that usually in the upset alert, I just give an alert. But I am going beyond that. And I'm breaking the rules this one time. And I'm saying it is an upset prediction. The Detroit Lions will beat the Cincinnati
courage.
Bengals this weekend. Take it to the bank. Well, I follow the rules, Nick. So this time, no, I'm some going courage. A little further. The extra mile. Now, here's the deal. Detroit, as I said, they've been playing hard. They should actually have a victory. All right? They're winless, but they should have a victory. Baltimore, if it wasn't for the longest field goal in the history of the sport, at any level, 66 yards, at the buzzer, Detroit beats Baltimore. And then last week, again, at the buzzer, last second field goal by Minnesota, 54 yards. That's still long to beat them. They could be 2-3 very easily with victories over pretty good teams. And so I think they get the Bengals this weekend. That's my upset prediction, not just alert, Nick.
A couple things on the Lions just quickly. First, I agree with you on the field goal part of it, but we got to tell the full story. In the Ravens game, they gave up a 4th-and-19. A 4th-and-19, which is what set up the field goal. So that ain't great. And against the Vikings, they got a gift in that fumble that's by Madison in the final moments to even have a chance, the Lions did, to score a touchdown and then take the lead with a two-point conversion. But I get it. And also, I understand it's a new thing across sports media. I didn't know it. Call me old-fashioned. I thought usually when within 2 months of taking a job, you are weeping at work, it's a sign you might be over your head and over your head. But evidently, it's a good thing. I didn't know. I thought normally if we're like, hey, face of the company, face of the franchise, openly broken and crying, it's like, oh, no, that makes me think he's going to be awesome for the job. Oh, Wilds loved it. Wilds ready to give the Wilds, if you remember, gave the Lions a win the other day because of the crying. No, it's fine. I get it. Again, hey, folks, I've got to evolve with the times. I'm not opposed to it. I just didn't know that was the thing now. I didn't know. I'm going to go with an upset pick as well, as I have every week on this segment. Not those cowardly alerts Broussard was trying to pull this show into to dip your feet room. In the water. Like, ooh, it's a little warm. It's
literally
nice.
The name of the segment.
A pick.
Literally.
Yeah, literally the name of the segment. That's great.
Literally the name of the segment.
Chargers are going to beat the Ravens. Chargers are better than the Ravens. The Chargers should not be underdogs. I understand Baltimore is at home. Baltimore, as impressed as I was by Lamar late in the game against the Colts, I didn't love that they needed to come back from 19 down. They're also on a short week. So for all those reasons, I think the Chargers are going to solidify themselves as the current favorites in the AFC, the Los Angeles Chargers. So I think they're going to beat the Ravens Wilds.
You pulled a Wilds, Nick. Quickly. I know you pulled a Wilds, but that's not an upset. That's an upset. I mean, I guess technically that's like Wilds last week with the Falcons. I mean, or the Jets with the Falcons.
Same amount of dogs that the Bengals
should be. That should be disqualified.
The same.
That's not enough.
It's the same level of favorite that the Bengals are, Chris Broussard. I know you're not a gambler, but if you were, you wouldn't have just made that ludicrous statement impugning my pick. It is the same point spread. So you, sir, don't tell me about what is and what is not an upset. So, by the way, America, Nick's pick's coming up in 40 minutes. Go ahead, Wilds. You jumped over
good.
Wilds segment.
Down.
What, just to correct me incorrectly. Gosh, embarrassing.
You don't
for
have
you,
to write
buddy.
It down.
Right.
I'll remind you.
I have a confession to make, and this goes out to all of Bills Mafia. Bills Mafia, you know your old buddy KW is a Patriots fan. I don't like the Bills. I just like making fun of Nick Wright. And because Nick hates Josh Allen so much, I needle Nick Wright. But I don't like you guys. I don't like you at all. I don't like that you put up a billboard in Foxborough. I haven't liked you for 20 years as we rolled over you. I don't like that you said that, oh, we control the AFC East now. I don't like you at all. So I like the nice tweets that you send to me. They're not mean, but I don't like you. I just want to be honest. I'm not going to be a fraud here. So here's my pick. Titans over Bills. Oh, wow. Stabbing us in the back. Again, I'm not. I'm always on alert for the big letdown game. You beat the Chiefs. You guys acted like it was the Super Bowl. Remember, the Ravens beat the Chiefs. Then they didn't show up against the Lions. The Rams beat the Bucks. Then they didn't show up against the Cardinals. Be on alert. There's a Monday night game. Gives Julio Jones yet another day to get healthy. You get A.J. Brown, who was on the bud list. Broussard's on the duress list. He's going to show up. And Mike Vrabel, former Patriot Bills fans, has got something in store for you. Because last time you played, he beat you guys by 26 points. Titans over Bills. Bills Mafia, sorry. We can't lie to you guys. I'm a rat.
I love that Wilds
in the
bud list.
Upset alert on a Friday morning. Yeah. We all handle that well. Let's talk some Tom Brady.
From my list.
Tom talked a little yesterday about how much football he's got left. You will not believe believe the number he threw out there? What age he could see himself playing to? That's next. First things first.
It's on the graphic, Jenna.
All right, time to run the no huddle. Talking Tom Brady this morning. Fresh off a win over the Eagles on Thursday Night Football, Brady talked a little bit about his incredible longevity. And if you can read, you can see on the screen where we're going with this. The 44-year-old told Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer last night, "I really think I can play as long as I want. I could literally play until I'm 50 or, wait for it, 55 if I wanted to.
Oh my God.
I don't think I will, obviously. My physical body won't be the problem. I think it'll just be I'm missing too much of my life with my family, who at that point will all be off to college and working jobs." Wilds, what do you make of Brady saying that he can play till he's 55 years old?
Okay, I've got a take for the ages. Father Time, you've lost a step, buddy.
Oh! A Father Time's undefeated, is he? Sure doesn't look like it. Between Jennifer Lopez, Brad Pitt, LeBron, Tom Brady, and plastics that's floating around in the ocean for 500 years, poor sea turtles eating it up. Father Time, step your game up. Look, Bill Belichick let Tom Brady go because he said he was going to play to 45. We all thought it was ridiculous. So the fact that he said he can do 55, we're seeing other people extend their careers to absurd lengths. We know that the NFL rules are protecting Tom Brady, protecting all quarterbacks, but Tom Brady in particular, since Nick mentioned it last night, the refs literally prevented the Eagles from getting to him. So look, I think it's a fool's errand to doubt Tom Brady. I am not. If he says he can play to 55, I believe him. And I'm just saying, Mac Jones will be significantly into his career at that point. Maybe Mac Jones retires. Tom Brady comes back, Rizard. It's on the board.
Look, Wilds, I will give you that Father Time has lost the step. Right? I'll give you that. Yes. That is the truth. And there's many, many examples, as you pointed out. But he still hasn't lost. He's still undefeated, all right? He's lost a step. He's a little older, but he is undefeated. And no, I do not believe this. I'll admit, if 10 years ago Brady had said, I don't think he even said it that far back, but if he had said 10 years ago, I'm playing until I'm 45, and at 44, I'm still going to be a top five quarterback, I would have thought he was insane. If 5 years ago he had even thought about playing until he's 50, I would have thought he was insane. But I'm going to go out on that limb, Wilds. 55, no. This is too much. There is no way he could play until he's 55 years old.
You don't
I
say.
Get it that he's all in on the TB12 and all that mess. But no. 55? That's crazy. And I got to say this. You guys know how much
I
like Tom Brady, and I think he's playing great. But honestly, he's still not as good as he used to be. And I know you said, wow, look at the numbers. This is the thing. He's in a better offense, and he's got the best weapons in the NFL. We saw his last year in New England. He could no longer carry mediocre skill position players to great lengths to win a Super Bowl or even get close to a Super Bowl. All right, he did that for the bulk of his career, but he could no longer do it his last year in New England, and I don't think he could do it right now. But he just so happens he's smart. He went to a team. He brought some other weapons. They got tremendous receivers all over the place, running backs, Gio Bernard, guys like that. And, you know, I just think that he's still not quite what he used to be. So 55 Wilds, okay. I'm out on that. What? And I know Nick is.
Why? God.
You guys are driving me nuts. Broussard, you treated this like a serious contention. And I, folks, this is so irritating to me. First of all, just to continue the trifecta of Father Time, is the question you guys are asking, has Father Time caught up to Father Time? Is that what we're asking, or is that a paradox? Yeah. However, on the Brady point directly, I was ready when I saw this quote, I was ready to do a whole Tom Brady and Icarus thing. Our great graphics department has a Photoshop ready and waiting of Tom Brady with wax wings flying too close to the sun. But then I watched last night's game. And while 55's outrageous,
I do think late 40s is becoming more and more realistic because Tom Brady obviously plays by a literal different set of rules than everyone else. When his defense is on the field and commits blatant pass interference, that can't be called. When he throws an obvious interception, we will have literally the longest review in the history of replay to find a way to overturn it. When he later throws an interception that can't be overturned and is trying to get in the play to make the tackle and getting blocked, a referee will step in like it's like a boxing ref being like, no, separate corners. Yeah. Poor Eagles defensive lineman is like, the play's going on, buddy. And the ref's like, that's Tom Brady. So if we're just going to have these different rules where the other team can't, his team can't commit penalties, his interceptions get overturned, the ones that can't get overturned, you can't block him, then anything's on the board. Who the hell knows? Like, it's just different rules. So that's fun. That's always good. It's always good watching the newest and latest way that we're going to figure out how, no. That was a Tom Brady mistake. Somebody call New York and find where in the rules that interception's not an interception because it couldn't have been because Brady threw it. And now 55. That's great. It's exciting. I'm very glad we talked about this.
We only have 10 more years left of being able to watch Tom Brady. Let's appreciate all 10 years of it. Now, on to Brady's former team. Head up to New England where the Patriots are hosting the Cowboys on Sunday. Dallas has been one of the best teams in the league since losing the opener to the Bucs. They've won four straight heading into this game. Wilds, what chances do you give the Patriots to upset the Cowboys?
Well, I'm not giving you chances. I am giving you a guarantee. Guaranteed with an asterisk. This one is an 80% guaranteed Patriots victory. Why, you might ask? Well, for one, I think the Patriots Foxborough crowd is hungry and still has a little bit of residual energy from Brady being there. So I think this is our first home game. We went to Texans, a little bit of a letdown game. Come back. We've got America's team playing the Patriots. Shoot, I blew that joke. Darn it. I'm supposed to say we've got America's team and the Dallas Cowboys. I blew it. Let's edit that out for the re-air. In any event, here's the other thing, Broussard. How many yards do the Cowboys give up through the air? 311 is the answer. Is that the worst? Yes. Oh, but I thought Dan Quinn. Oh, no, Dan Quinn's remade the defense. He hasn't. They just get a lot of takeaways. So if Mac Jones holds on to the ball and doesn't throw it to the wrong team, the Dallas secondary will be exposed. And that's why I am guaranteeing 80% a Patriots victory.
Wilds, look, you know I'm in on Mac Jones with you. I picked New England to make the playoffs, but no. They have very little chance. I won't go all the way full bore guarantee as I did on opening weekend, Tampa Bay, Dallas. I was right about that one. But I'll only give New England like a 3% chance of winning. You know, like one of those you never know what could happen. All right, in any given Sunday, that type of thing. Otherwise, they have no chance. There's no way. Dallas is winning this game. And you're right. You pointed out that the defensive backfield outside of Trayvon Diggs for the Cowboys is weak. Okay? However, as much as I like Mac, he's the rookie of the year
right now,
as far as quarterbacks. But he's not ready to expose that Dallas defensive backfield.
Okay.
He's not going to expose him. He's not going to. And then we go on the other side of the ball, and the defense is supposed to be the strength, right? But Jameis Winston, Dark Horse MVP candidate, Dark Horse, he had his way with him. Two touchdowns. They scored 21 points offensively. Taysom Hill scores a touchdown.
And then last week,
Davis Mills. Davis Mills, 312 yards, three touchdowns. What in the world do you think Dak Prescott, with that running game, is going to do to the New England defense? Their New England's offense, by the way, two touchdowns, the most they've scored in any game this season. So Dallas
is winning
this, Nick.
Because the quarterback
stinks.
Simone Biles would have been proud of the gymnastics you had to do there to somehow square your New England's offense's horrible take with, but Mac Jones is good. No, he's not. You guys are all like, oh, Cowboys defense is susceptible, except for Trayvon Diggs. Well, good news for the Patriots. Trayvon Diggs hadn't practiced this week. Trayvon Diggs might be hurt. Your old buddy Nick Wright, when we're getting ready to do Nick's picks coming up here in about 22 minutes, you got to scour those injury reports. I've been doing it. Have you been doing it, America? Make sure you do before you make your bets this weekend. Trayvon Diggs might not play this week. Normally, that would be bad news for the Cowboys. Not this week, because they're not playing a team that can hurt them through the air. Patriots are awful, Wilds. They're a bad football team. Davis Mills, you have taken my advice and you have started to tweet more. Unfortunately for you, sometimes those tweets are emotional and reveal honesty. You tweeted on Sunday, "I must admit, I was worried we left Davis Mills too much time." You tweeted that about your Patriots.
He's good.
Yeah, exactly. Your team is not going to have a mark. How about this for not some 80%, 97% alert, cowardly stuff? Here's a guarantee. The Patriots will not have a single win this year over a team that makes the playoffs. They will not have a single quality win all year long. Cowboys are making the playoffs. Patriots aren't beating them, Jenna. Simple as that.
Take it to the bank.
Bold.
Literally take that to the bank. They're going to be like, why are you telling me this?
Yep.
Set football aside. Got to talk some Kevin Durant. After the drama that's unfolded this week, should KD regret teaming up with Kyrie in Brooklyn? Because Nick said it, so I'm going to get going. We'll talk about that. What's going on in Brooklyn next? First things first. First things first, back here on a Friday morning and the latest drama in Brooklyn. Steve Nash and Kevin Durant met with the media for the first time since the Kyrie Irving news was announced Tuesday. The news that Kyrie will not be allowed to play if he doesn't get the COVID vaccine. Nash was asked before the game last night what he made of Kyrie's Instagram Live amid all of this. And KD was asked after. Here's what they had to say.
Late last night, Kyrie went to social media and had a long monologue explaining, I guess, his point of view and his hesitancy and his reasoning, or at least parts of his reasoning. I was curious, were you apprised of what he was saying? And did that kind of jibe with everything that he had told you? Or did you find any of it surprising and startling?
To be honest, I didn't listen to it. You know, I think I've pretty much said everything I have to say about it. I mean, if something changes, we can talk about it. But, you know, I really want to focus on moving forward and our group and solutions to the challenge ahead of us.
Have you spoken to Kyrie since Tuesday's news?
No, I haven't. What is being mad going to do? We're not going to change his mind. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, we'll let him figure out what he needs to do and the team figure out, you know, what they need to do. And us as players, when we're in the locker room, we're on the floor, we're going to work with each other. So, you know, life is amazing. So I can't be too mad at somebody making a decision for themselves. You know, that's who am I to get upset at that, you know? So just focus on what we got in this locker room. And when Kai's ready, I'm sure he'll talk to Joe and Sean and they'll figure that out and they'll tell us. So until then, we're going to keep grinding.
Nick, what do you make of the Nets' reaction to all of this?
All right, so I had two major takeaways. One that I think everyone had and one that probably was not, you know, in the mainstream. The first one was, it is incredibly revealing that Harden and Durant have not spoken to Kyrie and that Nash didn't even watch the IG Live. I mean, I don't expect Steve Nash to be up late at night like, oh, is Kyrie going on IG Live? But he could have done what a lot of people did, which is the next day watch it, and he didn't. That, I think, speaks for itself. Kyrie is getting a lot of support from a lot of circles, some in the political world, some in the basketball world. Our buddy J.R. Smith tweeted out support for him. There are folks out there supporting him. The fact that neither Harden nor KD have spoken to him, and the fact that neither one of them nor Nash tried to make the case for him. Like, listen, Kyrie is fighting for something bigger than him. We have to respect it. To me, that was very fascinating. Like, and telling. The other thing was, and I recommend everyone watch the full Kevin Durant press conference, because he's in a great mood. And when KD's in a great mood, you can tell. He was so gracious with the media. He went out of his way to say, listen, I know you guys are going to be asking me about this all year. Probably not every day, but all year. You got a job to do. KD, when KD's happy, he's so fascinating and so interesting and so honest. Broussard, I find it really interesting, and I'm not trying to psychoanalyze KD. I know he hates when people do that, but it's just my take. I find it really interesting that KD seems happy right now. That KD was at peace, at ease, gracious with the media, in a spot where you would think he wouldn't be happy. But it's telling to me that KD seemed to be in a good mood. It's telling to me that KD was answering those questions. And it's very telling that nobody has spoken to Kyrie.
Well, I think the question about KD, I think Harden, and I don't think he and Kyrie are as close as KD and Kyrie. I think they have probably a basketball relationship. You know, like the summer they played together before sure. Harden went there. They got to know each other. You know, I may be wrong, but I think that's that. So that may not be that surprising. KD, yes, surprising that he hasn't spoken with Kyrie. But I would have wanted a follow-up question. Did you try to reach out to Kyrie? Because it's possible that Kyrie may not be returning KD's calls or texts. It could be on the other side, right? It may not be KD is frustrated and exasperated with Kyrie. I mean, he may be that for sure. He has a right to be, as far as in a basketball sense. But it might be that Kyrie is not responding to his teammates. And it could be the case with Harden as well, for all we know. So I think there's that. But overall, I love the Nets' response. And I really hope that Kyrie remains friends with KD and Harden and his teammates, for sure. This is, you know, friendship is beyond this. But the Nets have got to take the attitude that Kyrie is no longer part of the team. And that's even beyond a guy that's injured for the season. Because a guy that has a season-ending injury is at games in most cases, right? He's on the bench. He's cheering with his team.
Yep.
Kyrie's not even going to be that. They have to take the attitude that he's not on the roster. And that might sound harsh, and I don't mean it to be, but for them to have the right mentality to win a championship, they can't have Kyrie in the back of their minds. There can't be any, you know, he might end up coming back in a few months. Or we might have Kyrie for the playoffs. Or if they go on a losing streak on the road, you know, maybe we should go get Kyrie. We need the one seed. Let's get Kyrie so we win more on the road. None of that. Kyrie has got to be out, like not even a thought in their mind as far as basketball. And I think what I saw, I love what Nash said. And then the other guys, you know, I don't know all the ins and outs. Did they reach out and Kyrie not respond? Whatever the case, they have to have the attitude he's not here. And here's the last thing about Nash Wilds. Nash has probably heard it all from Kyrie. Kyrie probably said what he said in that IG. Nash probably heard face to face. And I bet you it was just as convoluted face to face. So Nash is like, no, I'm not going to listen to it. I mean, I've heard it. And it was kind of, didn't understand it. So.
But here's the thing. And this is why I think the Nets are in a good spot, Broussard. The Kyrie's interview, or is his monologue, was 24 minutes and 55 seconds. So I watched it all. I put it on double speed, which gets it down to 12 minutes and 30 seconds. So what Steve Nash said was, you know what? I don't have 12 minutes and 30 seconds of my day that I want to dedicate to hearing Kyrie talk about why he's not on the team. He has moved on, and Kyrie is way in the rearview mirror. Same with Durant, same with Harden. And here's the other thing. It's the right move, Nick. When Kyrie was, they decided he wasn't on the team. What happened in Vegas? You're our local Vegas statistician. What happened? Oh, yeah. Did the Nets favorite title status plummet? Did it? Oh, goodness gracious. No, it didn't move, did it? So Kyrie on the team, not on the team, it doesn't matter. The only thing that can happen right now is that the Nets' chemistry can be hurt by even talking about Kyrie. So they've put him way in the rearview mirror. They're focused on winning the championship, which they're still the favorites to be.
So to be clear, they were the favorites before the Kyrie stuff. They're the favorites now. The odds did move a little bit. They are not as substantial.
Sorry, see, that's
favorites,
why you're
but yes,
expert.
But no. No, but your overall point stands, Wilds, which is they were the favorites. They are still the favorites. Their place in the you know, Vegas standings, if you will, remained. But I want to dig in just for a moment, and I'll throw this back to you, Wilds, about KD and Kyrie not talking to each other. Tell me if I'm missing something here, because there's only three possible options. Option one, KD called, Kyrie didn't answer. Option two, Kyrie called, KD didn't answer. Option three, neither called the other person at all. Aren't those all terrible? Aren't all of those options? Like, it'd be one thing if Kyrie was so upset about, and I think we've all been in a place like this, where something happens in our lives that is so jarring that we're not talking to anybody. I know I've been like that, where I'm not answering my phone, I'm not returning texts. But smack dab in the middle of that, I didn't do a 25-minute IG live with all my stands so they can put up the fire emojis at my nonsense. So if something happened with me, Wilds, and you reached out and I didn't answer, you might understand it. But then if I all of a sudden you see me live streaming, you'd be like, oh, I guess Nick and I aren't as cool as I thought we were. The point about Harden is fine, which is that we don't know that relationship. KD and Kyrie are, I don't know, incredibly close. It is wild to me that they haven't spoken. And I don't know which of the three options is most likely, Wilds, and I don't know which of the three options is the best option. That Kyrie won't answer, that KD won't answer, or that no one has called anybody.
Okay, well, so stay here for
a
second.
Good point.
Because you reported that Kyrie was on the trading block and that his representation told people that he would retire. And right now, the main story is Kyrie not being available because of his vaccination status. Don't you think that there's some drama that predates all of this? That KD and Harden didn't throw their bodies in front of a trade? And that was the initial fissure in the relationship.
Absolutely. The fact that, and I think Kyrie maybe correctly believes, I think everyone on the show believes, that if KD and Harden had gone to Sean Marks and Steve Nash and said, you have to let him play road games, we'll deal with it, that he would be playing road games. So I think Kyrie, maybe justifiably, maybe not, is upset by that. I want to ask Broussard one other thing. Broussard, you've been in media for longer than me, but you also covered teams in locker rooms. When I was a local guy, I was in Kansas City, so I've never covered an NBA team on a day-to-day basis. Right. But I've covered enough sports, and I've been in enough locker rooms, and been in enough press conferences to know this. Guys easily lie all the time. Here's why I say that. Is it not a little odd to you that KD and Harden didn't lie? Either say, no, we've spoken, or that's personal. I'm not going to get into personal conversations. It is telling to me, Katie and Harden are sharp guys. They know that acknowledging, maybe you say, but they don't want to lie. Is it not a little telling to you that neither of them said, I'm not going to get into personal conversations? Like, to me, they wanted us to know they haven't spoken to him, at least in my opinion.
I don't think it's odd that they didn't lie. Like you said, athletes and coaches do lie. There's no doubt about that in press conferences. But I wouldn't go to the point of it in just about every case or most cases a player's going to lie in that situation. So, but clearly, I think you made a great point, Nick, about the three options, and none of them are good. Obviously, we all hope that Kyrie and KD's relationship can still be a good friendship. And I think it can be over time because, I mean, Draymond and KD now, you know, they reconciled. So I do think that Kyrie and KD, if there's a fissure right now, can reconcile. But I got to be honest, I like KD's attitude because at the end of the day, and yes, we can talk about the basketball and how this is a great attitude to win a championship. But there's also this. Kyrie, and yes, it's his personal decision to do what he wants to do, but he said in that video when he was talking about how he cares so much about other people and this and that, and he said, you know, sometimes you care more about others than you care about yourself. If I'm KD, I'm saying, wait, you're not anti-vax, and you care more about others than about yourself, then why not just take the vaccine if you care about us? And I'm one of your boys. We're maybe best friends or good friends, very good friends. If you cared about our team, then, and you're not anti-vax, if you're staunchly anti-vax and you care about the team, I get, okay, you're staunch, you have a huge belief. But if you're not anti-vax and you care about others more than yourself, our 12 guys in the locker room, 15 guys, more about than you care about yourself, why not just get vaccinated and let's go play ball? And you can talk all you want at every press conference about how you don't think it's fair that people are losing their jobs because they're not vaccinated. Sure. You did it. You had to do it. You were forced to do it. You're not happy about it, but you did it. So I think that I like that KD is saying, look, I'm about winning the championship. And I get that my man didn't really care about my feelings in this. So I'm going to move on and do my thing and have my face set like a flint, too. So I like this attitude from KD.
I was going to say, I'll echo what you and Nick both said. There was this tremendous sense of like almost relief from KD. He was sitting back. He's usually hunched over. You saw it in his body language, the way he answered the questions with more than three words. He smiled a couple times. There was a sense of relief that at least now they know who's going into the season and maybe they can put all this behind him and it doesn't become something that KD is constantly relieved in the locker room questioning after the game. Exactly.
That's right.
All right, let's move on. Get back to some football. Tom Brady and the Bucs, they took care of business last night in Philadelphia. Is 5-1 Tampa Bay looking like the best team in the NFC? Asked and answered next, first things first, on a Friday morning.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.